start the day Manchester, Gimel Tamas, Toshin Pei Dalet, Rav Yechiel Mechel, Rappaport.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to discuss a shaila that has come up actually recently in town. Within the last couple of weeks, we're going to tweak the details slightly just to bring out the point of the question, to bring out the opposing sides. The story was like this. It was three Bachrim. They shared a room together. They had a fridge in their room. Reuven owned a jar of pickles. Shimon took the jar of pickles. Let's say he was tidying up their room. So he took the jar of pickles and he put it on top of the fridge. But he wasn't careful enough, Shimon, and he put it on top of the fridge in a way that it was resting slightly on top of the door. Levi came along. He opened the fridge door. The pickle jar fell and smashed. So now, who is chayev to who? We have a few options. There's actually four options. Either Shimon, who put the jar there, is chayev. Levi, who opened the door, is chayev. They're both chayev, or they're both potter? Sorry? The cleaner. He shouldn't have put it on top of the fridge, and therefore, you should say you put it on top of the fridge in a place where it's going to smash. It should be chayev, yeah. On the other hand, you can say, I didn't do anything. The second guy came along and smashed it. So, how do we discuss? Let's see what we can find. Now, if we go through the levels of mazik, the different categories of how we can obligate someone who damages something. So, if I see someone's phone lying on the table and I take a hammer to it, smash it, or his computer, whatever the case may be, it's chayev. Irrelevant, yeah? I smashed his phone, I'm chayev. Yeah? I did a mice mazik. A phone, a hammer, they don't meet well together. Okay. Let's go next stage. There's a fire over here. I throw the phone into the fire. Throw the computer into the fire. Halacha is chayev, right? A fire is one level perhaps slightly removed. Why? Because if you freeze the situation as I throw the object into the fire, you freeze. Press pause on the game. Has anything happened to the phone yet?
No.
The fire will burn the phone. Maybe almost instantaneously, but not quite. So the damage is almost one step removed. But nevertheless, the halacha is, if I throw something into a fire, obviously I'm chayev. And if you want to talk about a contemporary story, imagine you're on a train in India somewhere, in Calcutta. Yeah? We'll start before. You see a train coming. Yeah? And as the train's barreling along the tracks, you take someone's thing and you put it just in front of the train on the tracks. You get smashed to smithereens. Chayev. Basically similar to throwing it in a fire. Now, let's go one step further. You're sitting on a train, yeah, in India, in Calcutta. India is known for they're very well endowed with beggars, yeah, beggars and thieves. And it's well known, you go through a train station, you go through a central market, in India, you'll be surrounded by beggars. So, you're on a train in India, it pulls into a station, and you and your friend are sitting safely inside the carriage, and your friend has a purse of money, a wallet of money, and you take the wallet and you fling it out the window, and as you fling it out, like a swarm of flies, all the beggars come, it's gone, it's disappeared. So, chayev potter. Chayev. This is one step further removed from the fire. Because over here, not only using something inanimate to damage it, you've actually handed it over to someone who's a Baal Bechira, a mention is a Baal Bechira, he can choose whether to steal or not. And nevertheless, it's still considered as if I damaged it. Why? Because I threw it into a place where it's totally going to get stolen. I'm a mazik. Okay. Let's go one step further away. Let's say we're on the train, in the carriage, and I throw his wallet out onto the platform, which is usually swamped with beggars. But at the moment, it's not swamped with beggars because they're busy opening the gate for the station. And I know in 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, there's going to be a bunch of beggars which are going to come in and they're going to steal the wallet. I don't have the opportunity, necessarily. I could probably run out the carriage. I could jump out the carriage and pick up the wallet. But in the normal scheme of things, what's going to happen is the wallet's going to get taken. Chayev potter. Sorry? Chayev. Why? Because I threw it in the place that's going to get damaged. Okay. If I throw out someone's kli, someone's vessel is falling out the window. Yes? Falling out the window. A few floors up. There's a nice big air mattress underneath the kli. Yeah? I go and I pull away the air mattress. So the kli falls down, smashes. Chayev potter. Potter. Why? Groma. It's a causal damage. I haven't done anything to the object. I've merely caused it to get smashed. Sorry? So now, I've caused it to get smashed. So now we have to differentiate between when I pull away the pillow and the kli smashes around potter, or when I put the wallet onto the platform and in a few minutes someone else is going to come and take it.
Why isn't your first action the main thing? Are you throwing out that's what you did?
Because if you're right that the action that you're doing to throw it out onto the platform is what is going to obligate you. But if you want to ask, if we can ask a question, which is what I'm trying to dig at, is that you haven't yet done anything.
You have. You've thrown it out the window.
I enabled it to get damaged. I enabled it. I have caused, I've been mashed the net, not mashed the net, it's the wrong term to use, but I enabled the wallet to get stolen. I put it in a situation where it could get damaged.
You've actually stolen it.
Huh?
You've actually stolen it by throwing it out the window.
Yeah, I've stolen it by throwing out the window. Okay, let's say you asked me to hold it and then I threw it out the window. So I didn't steal it. We're going to avoid stealing. We're trying to avoid... I don't want to talk about stealing because you're right. When I take it from him, it's stealing. But let's say I had it holding. I want to focus on the mazik point. But you're right. Change the story to I was holding his wallet. Okay. Halacha is a dayan has to paskin according to halacha. Right? Obviously. Right? The dayan is also moshubit the Torah. The dayan paskin the halacha and he made a mistake. He said to Reuven, you're chayv to pay Shimon. And he took the money from Reuven and he gave it to Shimon. Yeah? Because he thought Reuven was chayv. Shimon went off, traveled off to America, and then afterwards the dayan was looking at the sugya again, he realized he made a terrible, terrible mistake. I poshed the mistake. Really, Reuven is potter. So what has he done? He's taken money from Reuven, Shalokadin, and given it to Shimon. So chayv a potter. Chayv. Chayv. So really, it's a machalik as a possible. Let's analyze the side of the chayv. When the dayan took the money from Reuven, did he intend to steal? No, definitely not. He thought he was chayav al pi halacha. He has to give the money. So now when Reuven gives the money to Shimon, he has not stealing. So why is he chayav?
Because he's a
muncha. He's irresponsible. And therefore he's...
As if he's doing the action of God.
As if he's doing what? He's mazik. He's mazik. That's what the Nesiva says. He's a mazik. He's a damager. So says the Nesiva, this is in Simon Chafes of Sifkotan Aleph. Yeah? If you take, for instance, that there's a thief who can't steal anything, and I take something, I was holding something for someone else, and I give it to the thief, who couldn't steal this otherwise. He's on the other side of the river. And because of my actions, the object is now irretrievable. The Nesiva says, it's Pasha that you chayev. The Ma'alim Zorka Liyam. What difference does it make if I take your object and I throw it into the sea, where it's irretrievable? Or I'm sorry, Liganef. Or I gave it to a thief, when I can't extract it from him. There's no greater damager than this. The categories of a mazik are not limited to where I do a physical action to damage the object irreparably. It's also if I put it into the situation where it's irretrievable for the owner. But if you analyze the nesivus, what are we talking about? We're talking about where a dayan took something and he gave it, beyad, he gave it by his hand to another party. Analogous, almost, to me, throwing out the wallet when this beggar's on the platform. It's a clear action of mazik, a clear action of damages. Because I've put it in a place, a situation, I've given it into the hands of a man who's going to take it away. Now let's go back to that story about the train, when I threw the wallet onto the platform, when there was no one there yet. And let's talk about another story. So over there, the other one to say, Yuchayev, and I raise the question that seemingly, you should be potter. Why? Because you're only a causal damage. Because the one that's going to damage the wallet, that's going to steal the one with the group of beggars, is not here yet. So when I throw the wallet onto the platform, maybe it's groma, maybe it's only causal damage. Shchicha Ezek, that means the damage is frequently going to, is regularly comes, and therefore,
it's
known it's going to come, and therefore, as if when I put it on the platform, I'm damaging it already. Right. Very good. Let's give a story. Let's see. This yesod, it really is a yesod of the Rosh. Now, the story was like this. Excuse me. Reuven gave shoes, which he needed to take from, I don't know where, somewhere in Spain, to a different town in Spain, I don't know where to. And he gave it to a friend of his who was going traveling between these two towns. He asked the friend, can you take my shoes for me from Aleph to Beis? The friend said, sure. Put them on the donkey. Well, the friend said, sure. So Reuven went and he put his shoes on Shimon's donkey. Shimon was walking along the way with his donkey. He was traveling with his donkey. And he had to go off to the side of the road to be excused. He went off to the side of the road to be excused. When he came back to his donkey, he saw that there was a donkey with no shoes. The shoes had been stolen. So the Shaila came to the Rosh and they asked the Rosh, are you Chayev a Potter? Now, the Rosh says you're Chayev, without explaining why. Now, let's pause the story a minute and let's analyze what is Shimon. Shimon is walking along with his shoes. What is he? He's a Shemichin. Right. How does one start being a Shemichin? Sorry?
Chayev
Gneva Veda. It's Pshia. It's Shemichin is Chayev Pshia. And this is pshia, it's negligence, because you shouldn't have left your shoes in the middle of the way. Now, how do you start being a shomer? When I tell, I make an agreement with you to be a shomer for me, so what I have to start with, I start with, can you please watch my object? And then if I leave it on the floor and walk away, are you chayev? Did you become a shomer already? Not necessarily. You have to be mekabel shmir, you have to accept that you're going to guard it. And then there's Machalukas Hashanim, how you start actually having the obligations of a Shemir. According to the Rosh, as soon as you start doing the Shemirah, that means if you stand there with a baseball bat, you're Chayiv, you start being Shemir. Yeah? According to the Rambam, you actually have to do a Maisa Kinya. A Maisa Kinya. You have to do an act of acquisition. That means either you have to lift up the object, you have to do Mashicha, you have to bring it into your house, you have to do some action on the object that you're guarding, that you're watching, to bring it into your possession, to obligate yourself for the consequences.
Traveling.
If you're pesheya, if you're negligent. So you say he's traveling, which means what? He put the shoes, Reuven put his shoes on the donkey, and Shimon pulled the donkey, so? Why is he kaina? Because he's? Meshicha, he's pulling. Okay, what was he pulling? He was pulling the shoes or he was pulling the donkey?
Donkey.
The donkey. So in effect, you're telling me, pull the donkey, and that's as if you're pulling the shoes. The only problem is that there's no such kinyan. The halacha is that if Meshoich Poro, Ukni Kedim Shal Gabov, if I tell you to pull the cow, and with that you should acquire the objects on top of the cow, the Meshicha does not work on the objects on top of the cow. The Meshicha works on the object that you're pulling, not on the object which is secondary to it. So now, let's go back to the story. The Rosh said you can become a Shomer merely by starting to work. So according to the Rosh, the story is beautiful. Reuven put the shoes of Shimon. The Reuven put his shoes on Shimon's donkey. Shimon started going along the way taking the shoes, so Shimon started working. Shimon started working for Reuven, guarding his shoes, being a shliach for him, being a shomer for him. He's a chayev, pshia, you shouldn't have left the shoes. According to the Rambam says you need a kinyan meshicha. There's no kinyan. You should be potter. So.
He left other chafetz on his own chafetz.
Doesn't matter. So he's a pshia for his own chafetz as well.
But putting them onto the animal, isn't that an...
Oh, so what's the kinyan? Why is that a kinyan? Putting them on the animal.
It's
a chotzer. Because the animal is my chotzer. So there's a nesivus, it's a chotzer mahaleches. It's a chotzer which is walking. A chotzer which is walking is not called a chotzer. A moving.
But it's a kinyan the moment you put it on. Yeah, it's a kinyan.
No, because the owner of the shoes put it on, not me. Not the shamer. The owner put the shoes on the cow, not the shamer. So the shamer didn't touch the shoes at all. He only left them on the cow. From when he was walking along, the whole time he was walking.
The moment
walking
he stopped with that cow, it's not mahaleches.
A chotzer mahaleches is called a chotzer mahaleches. I think
because
all the time capable, unless you tie it up. Yeah. So now we've got a problem because according to the Rambam, you should say in the case of the Rosh, you should be potter, because he never did any acquisition on the shoes. The shoes remained in the owner's possession. So you're right, I brought them here, but so why should I be potter? I wasn't a shomer, I wasn't pesher. Nevertheless, the Mechaber, who paskens like the Rambam in Hilchas Shmirah, he says that you need to do an act of acquisition. He also brings the case of the Rosh and says, when you bring the shoes, and you leave the shoes on the way, and the shoes get stolen, you're chayev. So the two don't clap together, they don't work together. Because he's not a Shomer. Shimon, who's walking with a donkey, is not a guardian on the shoes, and nevertheless he's obligated to pay for his negligence. How can that work? Says the Nesivus. It's the same case. Just like you understand that when a dayan who hands over he hands over money from Reuven to Shimon, the reason why he's chayv is because he's put it in an irretrievable place. Says the Nesivus, if you bring something into a place where it's definitely going to get nizik, or there's a high probability that it's going to get nizik, it's going to get damaged, then you are chayv. Why? The lashon of the Nesivus is that if you put it al eim haderech, you put it in the middle of the way, then obviously you're going to be chayev. But the Nesivus, as we're saying, is still a step removed. Because when I brought it into the place of damage, it didn't necessarily get damaged straight away. It took a few minutes. And then it got stolen. So the Nesivus is one step removed. But let's go with the Nesivus' chiddush. If I take your wallet, I put it in a sheet of milk, I'm chayev. Put it in a place where it's going to get nicked. Now, let's talk about, or just for 1 minute, let's just extend this concept a bit further. It's really not negeh to the sugya, but there's a case of Moser. It's slightly negeh. There's a case of Moser. If Reuven tells a goy, you know, Shimon's got some very good whiskey in his cupboard over there. In his cupboard, and the cupboard's not locked. His cupboard outdoors is out in the shed, it's not locked. He's got some very good whiskey. And the goy goes and takes the whiskey and steals it. The halacha is that Reuven's chayev. Now Reuven didn't actually do any actions. All he did was dibur, he spoke. But nevertheless he's chayev. And it's not called the causal damage. It's not called the causal damage that you're potter from. The Rosh analyzes this case among other cases, and the Rosh says that the reason why you're chayev over here, it's garmi it's called, which is a type of causal damage that you're obligated to pay for. And the Rosh says there's two reasons why you're chayev, and it's not considered a regular causal damage which you exempt. The Rosh says either because you showed the money of a yid to a goy, it's baruch hu she'itleno over kichoven. It's clear that the goy is going to take the money. I.e., when you tell a goy that there's an open shed in the garden, there's whiskey inside the shed, it's clear that the goy is going to go and retrieve the whiskey. It's clear. It's as if it's been burnt like an ox. It's like it's trapped in a trap already. Later on, the goy, the Rosh says it's as if you burnt it up. The damage when you tell a goy about availability of objects to get stolen, it's a definite damage. It's going to get stolen. There's no chance of it. There's no question about it. The reason why you're not chayav midaraisa in such a case, only midarabanan, is because you haven't actually done any action. You've just said. That's just as an aside in brackets. Okay. So we've come to the end of the. We've come to seemingly an analysis of the first person who put the jar, pickled jar, on the shelf on the fridge. He's put it in a place where it's probably going to get damaged, and he should be chayav. We're going to pause here. There's more to say about it, but I want to go to the second one and then come back to the first one. Let's go to the second one. Mishnah in Baba Kam Daf Chafaf. Adam Muad La'olam Bein Er Bein Yoshev. A man is always considered as if he's deliberately, as if he's not deliberately, as if he's going to damage. A shoyer, a cow, you don't assume that it's going to gore. Unless it's got a chazaka that it's gored three times, then you know that it's all to gore, it's regularly gores, and you know that it's likely that it will gore. A person is considered that he's going to be damaged, he's likely to damage, or he's considered as if he's regularly damages, whatever the case may be. Bein Er Bein Yoshev. What's the case of Bein Er Bein Yoshev? A person goes to sleep, and he goes to sleep next to some kadim, next to some vessels, and in the course of his sleep, he turns over and smashes the kadim. He's chayev. He's an oines. He couldn't do anything about it. He was sleeping. And you can't say the reason why he's chayev was because he was negligent, because he's not a shomer. Pshia is a chiyuv by a shomer, not by a mazik. Necessarily. Says the halacha, the mission of Baba Kama, no, you're chayev, the reason why you're obligated to pay is because a person is considered as always deliberate damage. Now, how far do you take this concept that a person is considered a mu'ud la'olam? How much can you obligate someone? Let's say someone's walking on a roof and he gets blown off by a wind, an irregular wind. Chayev potter. He damages a car. So he's chayev according to most a regular wind is chayev. Irregular, even an irregular wind which is not terribly irregular is also chayev. Yeah, but says the Ramban even further. Says the Ramban, if I was walking on a roof and a wind came like Sa'oras Eliyahu, the wind that took Eliyahu up to Shemaim, that means it's a wind which is impossible to deal with. You didn't expect it to come and you couldn't deal with it. And the wind came and dumped a person on top of a car. The person is chayev to pay for the car. Other word la'ilam. A person is masked, but Oynes is chayev. If he damages, even against his will, he's obligated to pay. That's that. According to Rabban, that's halacha. According to Tosfos, when we have an oynes it's not likely to come, not likely to happen, then you're potter. Tosfos talks about a number of cases. We'll just bring a couple. If a father died, a father died and he left over to his children a cow, and the children were unaware that this cow belonged to someone else. They thought it belonged to their father. They took a cow, they shechted it, and they ate it. The halacha is that they don't have to pay the full value of the cow. They damaged someone else's cow. And a person is considered as if any damage that he does was with knowledge, and he should be obligated to pay. No, so you see from here that the mazik ba'enis is potter. A person damages, there was no way they could have known that the cow belonged to someone else. The father never let them know. They did it b'toyim leiv, they did it unwittingly, so you say potter. Because it's a big oynis. It's considered as if they couldn't have known. Person's walking along the way, and he trips, damages something. Nitkal afisha, you can't let people trip. That's what happens. Potter. The third case, the Tosfos brings a number of cases. We're just quoting three. The third case, if I'm walking along with a barrel, yes, and there's someone walking along me behind me with a beam, and I stop, and the person with the beam behind me bashes into me, it smashes my barrel. Potter.
Potter.
You're always obligated for any damage you do. No, it's a potter. That would help if we're talking about a case where the pickle jar is in a place where it's impossible to see. It's a very high fridge. Yeah, there's no way you can see the pickle jar is on top. I don't have any ladders. We have to create a case where the pickle jar on top of the fridge was impossible to see, and therefore you're potter. Now, what happens in a case which is the most probably the case? Well, the pickle jar was not impossible to see. Yes? The bacher who stuck the pickle jar on top of the fridge, he could get there. He could see what he was doing, be'erach. Yeah, if you glance up, looking more, then you could possibly see. In most cases, you can assess that the pickle jar is there. But it might not be the way to check on top of the fridge. I don't know. I've tried to do an analysis over the last few days. When I open a fridge, do I check what's on top? It's a bit difficult for me at home because my fridge is integrated, so I can't see on top of my fridge. But a regular size fridge, depends on how high the fridge is, depends what angle. Do you catch it out of the corner of the eye? Something which is very difficult to assess.
You've got fridge freeze and the fridge freeze at the bottom, and then look up.
It calls achdus, yeah, you don't know. Is it the regular way? And let's extend the question further. Let's say it's not the regular way to look on top of the fridge. Would you say that he's potter? He's mazik ba'inus? Because it's not the regular way to look it on. So whenever the shali gets mentioned, people jump up and they say, "No, ain't not in darkish aldom is bainim drachim." What's that? But the halacha is if I leave my barrel in Shus Harabim, and someone else is walking along and smashes my barrel, he's potter. I'm mazik bainus. He's mazik bainus. He should be chayiv because anyone who damages is chayiv. No, ain't darkish aldom is bainim drachim. People don't look where they're going. Like famously, when people say about someone else, what was he thinking? The answer usually is he wasn't. He was walking along the way, he wasn't looking, he was fachalom, that's what the Baram Meiri says. A person is a bal chalomos, he's got thoughts and he's busy thinking, his train of thought is long derailed, so he's thinking about something else. And he doesn't look where he's going and he smashes into things. Ain't dakar shalom in his way to drachim. I won't go into it now because we're running short of time, but this ptur, this leniency, the ain't dakar shalom in his way to drachim, that the way of people is not to look on the way, it would seem, and that's why it comes out, I've seen this people, maybe Pharisees in the Sugya, and this is Lechewa, comes out from Rabbar Chaber as well. Ein Dakash Al-Adam is Ben Rachim is a special Ptur which was given by Chazal to people who are walking in Rosh Hashanah. As the Pnei Yeshua puts it in the Flam Beis, in the different Sugya, the Kevan Shein Roshus Lashum Adam Laniach Devar Takala Ber Rosh Hashanah. No one's got permission to leave their objects lying around Rosh Hashanah. We're not talking about pavements necessarily. Pavements could be yes. But no one leaves their barrel in the middle of the street. Yes? Memele says the Pnei Yeshua, lo hitrichu livnei adam la'ayin b'drochim. Chazal did not obligate a person to look at what's in the street. That means that it seems to be that there's a special ptur, there's a special leniency for someone who's walking along the street that you don't have to analyze what's coming ahead. You don't have to look. Where Chazal... Sorry?
Even if it's marked out, there's a marking there to show that it's okay.
It depends whether you have permission to put it down or not. It depends. The Gemara talks about when it's Shas Agitos, when people regularly put barrels in the street. But if it's a case where you don't, where people don't regularly put barrels, he doesn't have permission to put in the street, you're potter. Because I'm not obligated to check everything that's going on in the street. Now, this is similar. The reason why we have to come onto this is because Tosafot says this is called onus. And the reason why we have to say this is because is that it's a twofold reason. That means that Chazal said you don't have permission to put things in the street. Therefore, I'm not obligated. Therefore, when I'm damaged, it's an onus gomor, according to Tosafot. Because I was not obligated, so it's a total onus that I'm not obligated to look out for. But if we look at that sugya, that's applicable only in Rishus HaRabim. When you're talking about three bachrim who live together in a room, they're shutfim in the room, then they seemingly have Rishus, according to what their tanoim are, according to what the conditions are, how they do things, and if they're bachrim, they probably don't have any rules, then they can use every single available surface in the room. They're allowed to. Because just like Reuven would put his pickle jar on top of the fridge, and sometimes he might balance it on top of the fridge drawer, and sometimes Shimon might do it, and sometimes Levi might do it, they're allowed to put things there. So you can't necessarily have the patur of Ein Dayak and Shel Adam Nesbeinu Midrachim. If we go back to the first person, the first Bachur put it there, where I left off with the Nesivus, that the Nesivus says that you're chayav when you put it in a place where it's going to get Nizek, the truth is that that's a big machalikas acharinim. And Rabbi Kiva Eger brings that there's a machalikas marashach, if someone sent Nichsa Yisoyim in Belev Yam, there was an apotropos who was dealing with, there was a guardian who was dealing with assets of Yisoyim. And he sent some of the assets in the sea to sell them in a different country, and the ship sunk. And as we know, sending things by ship is a dangerous enterprise. Things can get damaged. So the Marashach says that you're chayev. It's called mazik biyodayim. Why mazik biyodayim? I didn't do anything. I put it in a place where it's going to get damaged. Marashach says the same thing because you put it. Nevertheless, the prechadosh in Mayim Chaim says no. Not mukhrach. Why is it called mazik? You didn't actually cause damage. You put it in a place where it can get damaged. Maybe it's a chalas of a pshiv, a sefer v'ainis type of thing. So it's a clear machalakis rishayin, machalakis achrayinim. So if we go back to our fridge shayla, if you want to be machayev, the first fellow for putting the pickle jar in a place where it's going to get damaged, machalakis achrayinim. And there's a general rule in chayshem mishpot, amotzi mechaveiroi, alavaraya. So if the pickle jar owner is going to come to the If Reuven is going to come to Shimon and say, put my pickle jar on top of the fridge, you have to pay me back. Shimon will say to him back, prove to me that the halacha is like the Marashach. Maybe the halacha is like the Prechadosh, Darim Pater. Who said the halacha is like the Nesivus? Maybe the halacha is like the Prechadosh, Darim Pater. If we go to the second fellow, it will very much depend on the circumstance. If it was impossible for him to see, the second fellow can come along and say, it's Mazik Ba'oinis, it's Machalikas Tos Tosus and Ramban, Machalikas Machab and Rosh, and Ramah, and Pater, I'm not paying. And it could be the Mechaber also passing that Mazik Ba'inus is Pater. And if it's in a case where he could have seen it, my personal opinion is if it's in a case where he could have seen it, then he's Chayev. Because it's not called any more Mazik Ba'inus, because you could have seen it, and the person is obligated to be careful about what he's doing. I'm by no means an authority, and in town in the last couple of weeks there's been a lot of discussion about it, and a lot of people do say he's Pater, I don't know. And especially as this is a shayla which is ongoing, I'm not coming up here to paskin it. We'll leave that to the dayanim. But we're talking about a simple thing, a simple unthinkable thing. How much does a jar of pickles cost? And how much was the person thinking when he put it up? And look at what a velt of Torah you can bring out from it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man.